I mean, he got, and I told him, I said, no problem, brother. I mean, I am committed to you the way God is committed to me. And God said he would supply my needs according to his riches. And brother, I'm going to act like that towards you. I'll supply your needs according to my riches. If you never work again, brother, it won't hurt me at all. I'm not going to be resentful. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be jealous. I'm going to practice patience and kindness with you. He said, huh? Everything went along real well for about 3 days. And all of a sudden I walked out in my garage and half of my garage was missing. Oh, we had a visitor last night. Glory be to God. My little air compressor was gone. My edging machine was gone. I said, well, glory be to God. Lord, you own all things. It all belongs to you. So I'm not going to be concerned about that today. And I bless the wonderful brother that took it. I give praise and thanks for the wonderful brother that took it. Oh, God, I thank you for this morning for an opportunity to practice my patience, because I'd really like to slap him in the cotton picking teeth. You see, I no longer operate by the way I feel. I operate through faith. Amen. I no longer am controlled by my feelings and my emotions. I allow myself to be controlled, my flesh to be controlled, my mind to be controlled by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is the Word of God. I'm going to allow God to control me. I surrender my will to His will. Well, now it rocked on there for several months, and the other half was missing. I said, God, well, I'm really getting checked out, ain't I? I mean, I didn't mind the first half, but the second half, I mean, what's going on here? And I'm doing all this in my mind. And God right away began to say, Charlie, can you be patient? I said, I don't think so. Can you be kind? I don't want to be kind. I mean, where do you draw the line? When do you stop this stuff? The guy can't work. I mean, he's... I mean, ain't there something I can do? He said, Charlie, I never did that to you. And Charlie, all you're seeing is your old self. I said, oh. And you don't like your old self, do you? I said, Lord, I really don't. He said, you know, I was kind to you when you were going through that old self. Would you be kind to him? Would you display me to him for me? I said, I'll try. And I knew right away I was lying. I said, Lord, I'll do it. I will. I will. I will. I'll do it. Now, by this time, 2 years has passed. And I came home one day, I'm in the yard. Me and my wonderful son-in-law is working together, and we have really developed a wonderful relationship. I mean, you know, folks, you can get used to a thief. You can, if you practice it. If you never practice it, you can never get used to one. So him and I are having a wonderful time out in the yard, and we're working around. And a car drives up in our driveway, and two guys get out and walk over to him and handcuff him. I said, what are y'all doing? I said, that's my son-in-law. They said, yeah, he's a crook. I said, my son-in-law's not a crook. They said, he's a crook. I said, he's not. God's already forgiven him. They said, God has, but we ain't. I said, oh. I said, what y'all going to do with him? We're taking him to jail. I said, what's it going to cost me to get him out? He said, a bunch. This guy's written over $4,000 worth of bad checks. You're going to pay to get him out. I said, oh, Lord. I went in the house and got on the phone. I started calling people that I knew. I'd say, would you send me $1,000? Would you send me $2,000? My son-in-law's in jail. I don't want him in jail. Would you send me enough? Would you send... And all of a sudden, here he comes. Whoo! And I run down and I pick up all of his bad checks.
And I get him out of jail. I said, come on home, son. He's my brother. I love him with all of my heart. He's wonderful. He's one of the most... He has allowed me to know more about God than any man I know. I mean, I got to take good... This is wonderful. And after I'd done all of that, you would think he would really be appreciative. I came out one morning and my fishing rods are gone. I said, that's enough. That's enough. Ah, bless God forevermore. I mean, don't the guy appreciate nothing? I mean, God, I've gone the extra mile. He said, no, you just went the first mile. I only been 1 mile? You mean I got another whole mile to go? God. It got to the point that I would go down to the hawk shop. See, the guy couldn't work. And he needed money to impress his wife once in a while by taking her out to dinner. And we didn't have a dialogue. He would never talk to me about money. He was always talking to me about getting a job. He had 500 jobs in 500 days. Every day he'd get a job. And I never seen a paycheck. There's a story behind this tie in case y'all are wondering about this tie. And I'm not telling it to you. I'm talking about my son-in-law now. And then, you know, we... Folks, I'm in the boogie house up to here. And I know I'm in trouble. I said, God, I've run out. I don't know what to do. I mean, I'm up to my ears. I mean, can't I just warn him? He said, no. All you can do is love him. About this time, one of our students, the school closed, and one of our students walked out the back door and fell and broke his arm right up here. Now, this student had been listening to me and traveling around and watching me for several years, and he'd heard me talk much about my family. So me and my wife rushed him off to the hospital. We got his arm all done up, and we said, Arthur, where would you like to stay? He said, well, I've heard a lot about your house. I didn't know that I was going to get checked out in a whole new realm of... And this guy is one of the wealthiest men I know. Now, I've been taking care of a guy that don't know nothing. Ain't got no money. Never will have any money. And I've survived with him. Now, here guy's a moving guy in my house. He's got everything. I've never been on that perspective before. I've learned how to take care of a guy that don't have nothing, but all of a sudden I got to take care of a guy that's got everything. And the guy that's got everything don't know as much as the guy that's got nothing. I said, God, what are you doing? I can't take this no more. He said, oh, yes, you can. If you're going to minister to my people, you got to take it. I said, I don't want to take it, but I will. Then when Arthur moved into my house, we call him the gadget man. He owns two of everything. I mean, if it's electronic, he's got two of them. He's got one in this pocket and one in this pocket. And he walked into my house with every Zony, Zuzu, Boom Boom, Wang Wang, Tape, Doolally. I mean, he walked in and I said, oh God, David's going to have a field day. Patience! Don't be offended. Pray, oh God. I'll tell you what, when you get into this, you'll sneak off in the night to pray. You will. And folks, if you're not willing to go through this, if you're not willing to die, pick up your cross, you ain't going to be no disciple. You can sit in formation. You can do all of these rigorous religious exercises and it won't turn into nothing but a mouthful of foam. God is an experience. And you're going to learn your experience in your home. Now, once you learn it there, you can come down here, and then we can form you to send you out to China or India or South America, wherever. But learn this at home. If you don't learn it at home, you're not going to learn it down here. Amen. Amen. So now I got two men in my house from one spectrum, as far as you can go that way, to the other spectrum. And it weren't 3 days before Author's TV set was missing. Now, I've got another situation. My other son-in-law has just beat up my daughter and almost killed her. So I got to go to the hospital to get her. And she's in there unconscious, and the doctors are working on her. And they said, this woman has been tortured. He'd come home drunk and almost killed her and took cigarettes and burned her stomach. Boom, boom, boom. Just torture her. All of this is going on at the same time. Folks, and my prayer is that none of you ever have to go through what I've been through. But I know today that if I hadn't have gone through this, I would never be up here preaching. I know that. And I'm going through things right now that those things are mild. I'm having to go through the church now. Y'all know what I mean? I mean, they've let me into the big boys. And I got to be kind and patient in there. I can't be offended in there. I got to long suffer in there. And folks, my attitude is, they ought to know better. And I found out they don't know nothing. They just like everybody else. They only know what they've been taught. Amen. It's a good place to be. It's where I am. So now, and see, I'm not putting that down because I'm as bad as or as worse off as anybody. I have just been allowed to go through certain things. The doctor found it. Well, we got to call the sheriff's department. They called him. They came out and they took all this stuff down. And my daughter was still unconscious. They said, Mr. Osborne, would you sign this? I said, what is it? They said, it's an arrest warrant. I said, oh, I can't sign that. I'm not offended by this. I'm going to be patient in this thing. And I'm going to be very kind. And I'm not going to be rude or selfish. And I'm not going to be resentful. And the doctor went crazy. I mean, if he could have killed me right there, I would have died. I would have just went bang out of here. In fact, he got so violent in my face that an orderly wrapped his arms around me and stood between me and the doctor. And a nurse wrapped her arms around my wife and stood between her and the doctor. He went nuts. And an orderly, as this doctor was just giving me everything that you can possibly turn your tongue to, he whispered in my ear and said, you're the first Christian I ever met. Ever met. And the doctor said, get her out of here, get her out of here, get yourself. They've got mental institutions for absolute dingbats like you. Get out of my hospital. And we got out. We took her home. We laid my daughter in a bed. Now remember, I got David, I got Arthur, now I got my daughter. My daughter has lived like a vegetable for over 10 years in depression. Have you ever seen people that couldn't sleep, or they couldn't get up? The depression would be so severe, the hurt would be so intense, they could not get out of bed. During the daylight, they couldn't open their eyes because the light, just the light itself, the intensity of the depression was so great they couldn't even open their eyes. They'd have to wait and get up at night, and they sleep all day, and they eat all night, and you know what happens to a person like that. So that was the state she was in. And I'm sitting here in the middle of this stuff, and I only got a little house. And so my daughter, when she comes, her husband's already moved off with another woman. I got the two little babies. I got my other daughter and her husband and her two babies. And then I've got my son. And then I've got me and my wife. And I've got Arthur in a little three-bedroom house. Have y'all ever had anything like that? Well, you might have to get something like that before you ever get up here to preach. A lot of you said, I ain't preaching. I ain't preaching. No thanks. But folks, if that's God and God loves me, I must learn how to love others. You can't love others unless you're willing to die. Love is a sacrifice. Patience is a commitment. It's not a feeling or an emotion. People run around praying for feeling or emotions, think there's some oozy-goozy. They're going to feel good in this thing. I've never felt good in it. Now, y'all can tell I'm excited in it. There's a zeal in it, but I've never felt good in it. But I got to where the beat don't hurt anymore. I don't get fearful anymore. I don't get resentful anymore. I'm not angry anymore. I can walk around in my house and it's just wonderful. So I got Regina, I got Arthur, and I got David. Regina, the next day, wakes up totally healed. We went to bed that night, I said, honey, you know, God gave her to us, and we give her back. If she's to die, and she was really a mess. If she's to die, we give her to you, Lord. We've enjoyed her while we love her with all of our heart. And we walked the floor that night praying in tongues and just giving thanks and praise to God. Next morning, she woke up healed. And the first time, in years, she got up and went to the kitchen and made coffee. I couldn't believe it. I said, wow, look at this. And Arthur, with his broke arm, is living in the living room. David is living in the garage, and his wife. And Regina is living in one room. Her two daughters live in another room. And my wife and I live in another room. The house is full. And two of the babies of my daughter, of David, they're living in the dining room. We took the dining room left. Folks, you'll find that dining room ain't good for nothing. It's just an empty space. You've spent thousands of dollars for it. It doesn't do anything until people occupy it. That's what we're moving into. And if you're not prepared mentally and spiritually, you're not going to do it. David stole Arthur's TV set right away. And Regina, see, she's never been any of this. She went snooping. I know who took that thing. And she found it in his closet. And she took it out of his closet and she brought it down to my closet. And when I came home that evening, she said, I caught the sucker. I said, you caught who? She said, I caught David. I said, doing what? Stealing Arthur's TV set. I got it in your closet. Come here, let me show you. And she took me to my closet, and there it is. I said, Regina, do you know the rules of our house? She said, what do you mean? I said, don't you know the rules that we have in our house? She says, no. I said, they're on the refrigerator. Don't you read them when you open the door? She said, those aren't rules. I said, yes, they are. Love your enemy. That's a rule. Do good to those. When they rob your property, don't ask for it back. I said, if David stole that, it belongs to David. Now you get it out of my closet and get it back in his closet. It don't even belong to Arthur no more. And my daughter flipped out. She says, my God, what are you doing? I said, it belongs to David. He stole it. Now, boy, I'm going to tell you right now, the world, listen to what the world would say. Oh, you can't do that. You are an enabler. God is the greatest enabler that ever lived. He has enabled us to do whatever we want to do, even call down hell on ourselves. Don't talk to me about being an enabler. You're trying to play God when you try to control other people's lives. God has called us to love one another. And it has to start with me. And in that I will pay a great sacrifice. And it'll cost me my life. It'll cost me my home. It'll cost me my livelihood. It'll cost you everything. But the joy of God that'll swell your heart, the wisdom that'll flood your soul, will be so great you won't care about nothing. Amen. Y'all sound very excited. It's a weak amen. So I asked Regina this. I said, Regina, this is 2 weeks later because she wouldn't talk to me. And she didn't have any place to go or she'd have left. I said, Regina, have you ever had a good thought about David? She said, no. She said, I've never had one good thought about him. I said, could I tell you some good things about him? She says, what? I said, he's a unique and original masterpiece of the Most High. There's nobody else on this earth like him. And he has been sent here to check us out in our faith. And we're going to prove our faith here with him, or God will have to send someone much worse than he is. I don't want anybody any worse than he is. Could we possibly love this brother the way he is? I said, that's as bad as I want. And then I asked Regina this. I said, Regina, have you ever had a good thought about yourself? You would be shocked at the people sitting in this room that's never had one good thought about themselves. You're totally defeated because you don't know who you are. I said, Regina, have you ever had a good thought about yourself? She said, no, not for years and years. I said, sweetheart, come in here. And I took her into the mirror in the bathroom. I said, look at this unique, look at this wonderful, look at this glorious manifestation of God in His love and grace, what He's allowed you the privilege to be on this earth. And she just broke and began to cry. You're wonderful, Regina. Precious, I'm here to serve you. You're so wonderful. I thank God every day that I'm here to serve you. I thank God that God's given me the privilege to serve you. And I said, would you like to get David out of your mind? Because you're carrying him around. All of you people that got resentment for other people, carrying your daddy around in your head, carrying your mama around, and they're up there tormenting you. They're going bang, 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 bang. And you're tormented. I said, you want to get rid of David? She said, how? I said, just go in the next room and ask him to forgive you for hating him. She said, that's all I got to do. I said, that's all. She stormed out of my room and went to the next room and she says, would you forgive me for hating you? Now, that's the beginning, isn't it? Now, David, all of the 4 years have transpired since this. We've got 4 years involved. Okay? The next morning, I'm going to San Diego. I come out of my house. David's standing outside. This is a year ago. He's standing outside, and he said, Peepaw. He calls me like the grandkid, Peepaw. He's a wonderful man. He said, Peepaw. He said, you know I'm your problem around the house? I said, David, you are not a problem. I said, you've taught me more about God than any man on this earth. I said, I thank God for you every day. What a great blessing you are that you have allowed me to know my patience and my... I just thank you. David, he said, but I don't want to be like that. I said, you, what are you saying to me? He said, I don't want to be like this no more. I said, oh, no. I've just gotten used to you like this. Now he's going to change. I said, what do you want to change? He said, I want to give my life to Jesus. I said, oh, shucks. Now he's walking around the house. Praise God. I got to get used to that. His voice is louder than mine. I got to get used to him all over again. Arthur's lived with us 3.5 years. Right in that living room, right on that sofa. Went out and bought him one. I said, Arthur, we don't have no money. I'll buy me one. Folks, he has been the greatest challenge that I have ever experienced. It's easy to live with a thief. It's easy to live with a robber. I mean, it's easy because after a while, you ain't got nothing for him to steal. But the torment that I went through living with the rich man that could not see one thing that was needed, had no eyes. He came down my hallway one morning, and at 5 o'clock in the morning, he said, "Where's the toilet paper?" I know where it'd like to be. The guy could go out and buy a tractor trailer full of toilet paper. If you're not willing to die, if you're not willing to bear the cross, if you're not willing to go through the pain of your redemption, redemptive suffering, if you're not willing to go through it so other people can see in you the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the kindness of God, you will never be His disciple. And it all starts here. You've been listening to it all week. Transform your mind. You're not going to like it, but it'll bring you such a peace you can't do without it. Now, that's not the end of the story. Arthur has become a saving factor for this ministry. He flies us wherever we go at no expense. I could not have a ministry in Central America and Belize because you people aren't going to give us enough money to go down there and do it. You just aren't. But you see, God knows what He wants done. And when this message is lived in your home, if you're able to accept those people that He sends to show you your patience and your kindness, God has a plan. I never knew that Arthur would be totally generous with his air. You know, he owns a big airplane, and he flies me and my wife everywhere at no expense. No expense to the plane, no fuel cost, no just get in. He even lets me fly it. I get to land it in Central America, take it off, and he lets me fly. 2.5 years, he wouldn't even let me touch it. My plane. And I'm sitting there going, the guy, you know, he don't even know how to fly. Because I'm the best pilot around. Y'all know what I mean? And I had to sit there until I discovered that he really is a good pilot. And I began to learn a few things from him. And all of a sudden he said, "Would you like to taxi it?" I said, "Would you let me? Would you like to take it off?" I said, "You're kidding. Would you like to fly it?" "Yeah." It only took 2.5 years. Are you willing to humble yourself? God doesn't need your pride or your arrogance. He doesn't need He just doesn't need any of that. He needs His life, His spirit. Amen. 2 weeks ago, David walked into my bedroom. A week ago, I'd just gotten back from Belize. He walked into my bedroom and he held up a check. He just got his first paycheck. He just got him a job for the first time in 5 years. And he's so excited. I come home at night, he's washing dishes, washing the babies. This morning at 5 o'clock, I was up. He was in the kitchen cooking breakfast for the family, going to work at 6, got his lunch packed. I couldn't believe it. I said, "God, truly this is a miracle." He said, "You let it happen. You let it happen. Can you let it happen in your family?" Folks, this is family. Amen?
Amen.
Can you let it happen? Can you kill those horses in your life? Through the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus, love your enemy. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those that curse you and pray for those that treat you badly. When you're slapped on one cheek, give them the other cheek. When they take your coat, give them your shirt. Give to anyone that asks. And do not ask for your property back from the man that robs you. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. If you love those that love you, there's no grace in that. Sinners love those that love them. If you do good to those that do good to you, there's no grace in that. Sinners do the same. Instead, lend without any hope of a return. Love, and you will be sons of your Father in heaven, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Done. I've already used up 10 minutes of your break. Now you got 5 minutes to take your break and get to your next class.